Welcome to the Grow Your Business podcast. Listen in as we discuss all things business, growth, and marketing with business owners, thought leaders, and entrepreneurs. And now, here's your host, founder of Roundhouse, the creative agency, Saul Edmonds.
Oh, hey, everyone. Welcome to the Grow Business podcast. Today, I have the great pleasure of speaking to Rocky Lalvani. Rocky, how are you today?
Thank you so much for having me today.
Yeah, as well. So I always often ask people to start the podcast so people have a bit of a idea of who's speaking from whereabouts are you speaking to me today from? I'm in Brisbane, Australia. Where are you?
I'm on the other side of the world in Pennsylvania in the United States.
In Pennsylvania. What's the weather like in the weather part of the podcast? What's the weather like today?
It actually has become hot. I think it's 80s out, and that's Fahrenheit.
Yeah, that's right. I always forget the translation because we do Celsius. But it's warm. Yeah. Okay, great. Well, we got the weather part of the podcast out of the way now. Now we can get into the nitty gritty. So thanks again for being on the podcast. Have you so for people who don't know you, who don't know what you do, haven't heard you speak before, could you give everyone a bit of an overview about who you are, what you get up to, and how you make a difference in this world of ours, Rocky?
So I am somewhat of a computer geek, definitely a spreadsheet geek, and I numbers tell me a story, right? So when I look at the reports and so forth, they help me to figure out what's going on inside of a business. And it's just a gift I have. I don't know how it came to be, but it's something that I also love doing. It creates a lot of curiosity, like how did that happen? How did this happen? How does this particular model work? And, you know, how efficient is it? Is there a better way to do it? Why haven't they looked at this or looked at that? And so for me, it's kind of like a whole storytelling curiosity journey of seeing what's going on there financially.
Sure. And so so for people who want to then I guess put you into something that they're used to understanding, what would you identify yourself as? Like, say somebody goes, oh well, he's obviously an accountant.
I am not an accountant. I am not. I have an MBA, but it was worthless. So don't put me in a box. I'm different, you know, and unique.
Sure. So, but if you were going to, so not necessarily like a label, but like how do you, but I sort of asked that question too. It was a little bit of a leading question, as you may have realized. Yeah.
But basically, I am a business owner who understands the business of business, and I help other business owners to understand the financials in the business side of their business. So every business can be put into some sort of a math equation. And once you understand the math equation and the levers inside the business, it becomes very easy to make decisions in the business about what to do next, where to spend money, where to stop spending money, and what the expectations for the year and what the expectations for the years and forwards, and come up with where we think your business is going to go. And then we help put the plans in place to actually be able to do that.
So would you say, because when I think about numbers just in general and how you're speaking about them, would you say there's a part of that which is seeing the patterns, like in what's recurring, you know, quite often, and then working out what that actually means in terms of like the real world, you know, things happening within the business, actually identifying those patterns?
There are patterns and there is predictability, and it's helping figure out what that is. So we follow a process, but the process isn't, it's not such that you have to fit the process. We take the process and we wrap it around whatever your business is to understand, because not everyone's got every lever in their business, right? Businesses are all different. They're all unique. But when you look at them through a standard model, you start to see how they fit into the model. And then you can adjust it as needed with that. And that's probably a little confusing, but when you see it, it makes total sense. And everyone's like, oh, why didn't we think of that?
Yeah, sure. So so are you then speaking about the profit first sort of system? Profit. Are you speaking about that specifically? Or something
that else? That is one small part of what we do. So I'm speaking much, much broader than profit first.
Sure.
We're looking at the business from how do we begin the sales process all the way through to delivering whatever you deliver to your clients, all the way through to getting paid. And then lastly, you, the business owner, taking money out of the business. So we look at that entire process. Profit first is one tool that we use inside of that. And it's a tool that's really great about starting a conversation. A lot of people, and I don't know how it is in Australia, here in America, everybody wants to be rich, but nobody wants to talk about money and emotions. And
I think that's universal, Rocky. Yeah, I think that's universal across the globe, I'm sure.
So the thing is, even as a business owner, if you've got money behaviors that aren't serving you, or you're not talking about your money, I mean, let's face it, how do you run a business and not talk about money? You have to. And yet a lot of people are like, you know what? I don't want to do that. I want to do the parts of the business I love, which is doing whatever they love in the business. It could be a tradesperson doing their trade. It could be a lawyer doing his legal stuff. It could be, a retail shop. They all want to do the part that they love. You know, somebody might be a wonderful chef. They're like, hey, I love to cook. I don't want to look at numbers. I'm allergic to them, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But how do you run your restaurant if you don't know what's right, what's wrong, what the proper price is, and how you're going to be profitable?
So for someone like yourself who's talking to people, who's having these sort of conversations, I'm interested to hear how, I guess, not specifically some case studies, but like for the person who, like you just said, like say the atypical person who's probably on the more extreme end of, I just love what I'm doing and I don't want to deal with anything else. And that's why I hire someone like Rocky, or I hire like other people to do it for me. Like, how do you find the happy medium between doing that service for people and helping them to understand, or do you, or do you help them to understand, like in that way?
I think really what we do, if you're running a business, right, there's a million things you're working on. There's a million things you can do. What we try and do is every month come up with a handful of next steps that you, the business owner, need to take in order to improve your business. So, you know, a next step might be raising your prices, which a lot of business owners are hesitant to do, right? They're afraid of raising prices, but we'll sit down and we'll model it out and we'll say, look, no matter what you do, you're never going to make money because you're not charging enough. And here's the proof. And then they're like, okay, let's raise prices. And then coming up with a way to do that. So one of the things we love doing is we raise prices on our worst customers first, because we're okay if they leave anyway, right? It's a win-win, right?
It's a useful tool. It's a proof of concept.
Yeah, it's a proof of concept. You didn't like them anyway, so why not charge them more? Getting them comfortable. So that's that whole psychological side of money, and we get involved with that too. And it just might be, hey, I'd like to hire another person, or I'd like to add a piece of equipment. Does it make sense? And what do I need to do to make it happen? And then you mentioned Profit First. What Profit First does is it gives every dollar a job, right? It says, this dollar has a purpose, and I'm going to use it for that purpose. And when you do something like that, it becomes easier to make decisions. You've got boundaries to work in, and things just tend to go better. Plus, you have reserves, because let's face it, every business owner knows this is a roller coaster ride. We have good months and we have bad months. And the key to business is surviving. And when you've got excess cash, you get to survive bad months and you figure it out and you do better tomorrow. But you got to have excess cash to survive.
Yeah. It's like the stores for winter, really, isn't it? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's like the food and the fruit and the vegetables down in the root cellar.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like you. So it's, I'm just returning to that point about, I guess, trying out raising prices on certain sort of customers. I find an interesting point, because whilst that was, a funny moment, as soon as you said it, what I was thinking about was, I was like, actually, that is actually really useful, because there's, theorizing here, but just thinking about if they're a particular sort of person, and maybe even if those people are hypothetically price driven, with the things with how they think about things, that raising prices and doing that with a particular sort of person, like you said, isn't one as risky in one sense, but also it's going to make it more likely it's going to work on other people, because you've gone to some extreme end, and if it works on them, then it's kind of a safe. It's actually like a range of really useful things there. So when it comes to their concept of Profit First, I know it's just sort of one part of everything that you do, but I actually it's interesting, because I actually saw Mike talk at a conference here in Australia. And it was really good. And it was, he was one of the keynote sort of speakers at the BX conference, which was on the Gold Coast. And it was great. Mm. It was really good. So when then you were coming on the podcast, I was like, oh, that's really interesting, because we could, like, I have like a little bit of history there of understanding what that was about. But how integral, even though it's just one part of what you do, but the ideas behind it, I found most kind of interesting. So could you, I guess, just explain to people listening who are like, I have no idea what that means. Like, what's this? We've been talking for 20 minutes and we're mentioning this thing and they're going, yeah, I understand what Profit is and I understand what First is, but I don't everything else. So could you explain, like, to people what it actually is?
Sure. So Profit First is a book by Mike Michalowicz. He's a serial entrepreneur. He's a real funny guy. And he's written a ton of business books because while he's had success in business, originally he didn't have great success. And then he had big failure. And it was through that failure that he really learned some of these principles and started to implement them and make some changes. So at the end of the day, I don't think anyone goes in business to lose money, correct?
Hmm.
Right? So
I assume so.
I hope not. We said we're going to be profitable, But do you actually take your profits and do you make that a priority? So we're all taught our business math by accountants, right? I'm not an accountant. I don't want to be. Mm. And these accountants tell you that profit is sales minus expenses equals profit. Mm. So in their world, profit's a leftover. It's like, you know, something at the end of the day, if you're lucky, here's your crumbs. What Mike said is, with that type of an attitude, no wonder we struggle. So how about we do sales minus profit equals expenses? And so now we take our profits first. We're not screwing people out of their money or not paying people or any of that kind of stuff. Mm. We're treating them fairly. And then we constrain our expenses. And by constraining our expenses, we essentially live within that number. The reality is most business owners are not looking at their accounting reports. By the time they get them, they're old news. They want to know what to do today to have success tomorrow. And accounting doesn't give them the information they want. What Mike did was to kind of create a system that works the way business owners do. Most of them look at their bank account. If they have money, they spend. If they don't have money, they go out and sell or collect. And so he took that habit of theirs and he used it to their advantage. And so what he does is he sets up multiple bank accounts. The first one is your income account. And so all the money comes into your income account. Every time you look at your income account, you'll know how much money came in. And then on a regular rhythm, we take money out of the income account. And the first thing we do is we put it in the profit account. So if you said you're going to be 10% profitable, every dollar comes in, we'll put 10% in the profit account. Then we put a percentage of money aside for the business owner because most business owners pay themselves last. Mm. And that's not fair. You took the risk. You did the hard work. You deserve to get paid and paid a appropriate salary for the work you do. And so we put money aside for the owner. Then we put money aside for taxes, because I don't know about where you are, but, you know, the IRS has guns and they can seize your bank accounts and they're not, yeah, they're going to come after you. So let's have the money ready to give them when tax time comes. And then what's left becomes our operating expenses. And now we know, okay, I'm profitable. I paid myself. I covered taxes. This is truly how much money I have to learn to live on inside my company. And I have to spend it wisely. And so that's basically what the system does. And part of that, though, is over time, you start to build reserves in your profit account. You start to have excess cash in these other buckets so that you can get through the downtime. And, you know, you look at your pay account and you realize, oh, I have 3 months of pay in there. You're like, I can take a little bit more of a risk. I can say no to something. You start to run your business based on your values, not on your checking account. Mm. And so that's kind of the concept behind Profit First. It's just a foundational way to manage your money and to use it appropriately with intention. And basically what you do is on a set rhythm, maybe once a week or twice a month or once a month, you take the money from the income account and you move it to all these other accounts. It's pretty simple. Takes most people like 10 minutes to do it. And, you know, even if you're doing it once a week, it's not that bad. And you're done. And then you go about doing what you do best and what you love doing, and you don't fuss so much. But you always have clarity on where you stand.
It's interesting, and this was the thing that really sort of struck me when I heard it at that him speak, was it's quite a simple shift, like you said, like it's fairly straightforward, but it is like you were talking about, it is like a really foundational difference between like how people, I mean, like you were explaining how that is, which is seems to me a little bit driven by you know, if I was going to reflect on it, the idea of having profit come last seems to me like the driven by the people who are generally running it, like the accountants, people who are managing the money in order to make sure all the books add up nicely. That's what it seems like to me. It seems like a sort of a handy way for people just to go, okay, well, you know, in order so this is paid and everything's reconciled, you know, it seems a bit like that to me, but like the difference is quite huge really, isn't it? Like that you're shifting that around. Also, the first thing that, and when you were talking, that just sort of occurred to me was it might have the effect, and you can sort of speak to this if you like, might have the effect of that if you're going, okay, I'm going to take, you know, X amount of profit out, it's going to potentially make you focus on like the expenses that you already have to review them more closely, like to actually go, do I need to, like, one, either have that expense or am I able to reduce it just because, like, you're doing it the other way around, as opposed to just having, this is like the status quo. I've got this and this and this. And that might be the case. Like, you might still be like, yeah, sure. Like, I have to pay this and do this. But to me, the first thing that occurred to me when you were explaining it was, like, maybe it would actually make you have a bit more laser focus on the expenses. Is that something that you found with people?
It is. So the first part is just putting the money where it belongs.
Sure.
And then the second part, and this is not like a, you just do this and you're done. This is like a 2, 3, 4, 5 year journey. And it's rethinking how you spend in your business. But part of what we do is we'll sit down and we'll do an expense audit. Hey, you're spending all this money. Number one, are you aware that this is where your money is flowing? And then the question you have to ask yourself, this is not negative. Am I happy with the way my money is flowing? Am I happy with where I'm paying for my expenses? Am I getting a return on that? So when you look at expenses, one part of expenses is what I call vanity expenses, right? You get the guys in the trades. I don't know what kind of trucks you have in Australia. Here they want big, expensive pickup trucks.
Yeah,
nobody does business with you because you have a big, expensive pickup truck, right? Or they start wasting a lot of money on tools, right? Yeah, and the chef might do the same thing in his own way. As business owners, we have the things we all think we need in business, but that don't actually add any value to our clients. So it's being aware of that and eliminating that. The second part is, okay, what are the things that I need and am I appropriately using them, or do I have 6 pieces of software that do the same thing and I didn't know they all did similar types of things? And am I being most productive with that? And then there are the things that we have to spend on in our business. And again, it's just exploring, am I getting the best deal? Like insurance. Okay, I need insurance. Have I shopped for insurance in the last couple of years? Have I checked out? Is it a reasonable price? You know, and I'm looking at the different parts of my business and just asking, is this reasonable? Could I do it differently? Can I be more efficient? Do I even need this? And a lot of times you find that maybe you don't need it, but yet here you are paying for it.
Yeah, that's
right. And especially employees love to spend your money, right? Because they don't get compensated to make you profitable. They just think, oh, we need to spend more money. And they'll spend it without thought.
Yeah.
It's not theirs.
Yeah, I guess also if that I've certainly experienced this, but experience from the digital side of things. There's a whole range of tools which you, of course, like most people, use a lot of different sorts of digital tools. In our industry, that's probably more so. There's a range of different plugins and things you pay for and this. And there's always, like, my natural way, just because there's so much of it, is that I'm constantly reviewing things. But the more there are, the more you forget that you did them in the first place, and then there's some recurring thing on your card, which I know is like, you know, from speaking to clients throughout the years, they're like, I'm like fairly regularly, I'm, you know, getting calls from people going, and sort of like, you know, rightly so, because some of them are spam too, and it's not a real thing. You know, people going, hey, what's this, you know, this sort of expense? Because people are busy, right? You know, they're like, they're like living their lives. They're like trying to run their business. And so there's a lot of those little things that are always feeding through. But then just returning to what we were talking about the profit first sort of mentality, or, you know, idea behind things, making people focus more. I think that's a really, for me, that seems like a really fundamental shift, like in all of that.
It is, they focus more, they think more. One of the underlying principles of profit first is something called Parkinson's Law. And Parkinson's Law basically says a business will use up all the time and money allocated. It's amazing what you can get done in the last minute, right? Mm. It's amazing how when you have limited resources, you figure a way out. When we have too many resources, or we don't constrain our resources, we use them without thought, and we use them up and we waste them. Mm. And when you have that constraint that Parkinson's Law provides, that profit first provides, you start to become more industrious. You become more, you figure out how to get it done with less. And so it's forcing you to do that. Yeah. And that's basically it. It's like, I would say, you know, you put a bowl of candy in front of me, I'll eat it all. So however small or however big that bowl is, that's the reality. People do the same thing with cash in the bank account. Mm. It doesn't matter how much is there, how much came in. We all tend to spend it all. And so constraining that and being a little bit more intentional with that is super helpful.
It's the same or similar idea what they talk about when people go, we need to build more roads, and inevitably cars just fill the roads up, and they don't end up actually solving any traffic congestion. Sometimes they make it worse, yeah, because it's just essentially filled up. But I would probably argue there too that that's an important driver for innovation too, like, because I don't know, I've lost count of the amount of times, because I often have work that I have to do at the last moment, or I've got very short time frame to do it in. I'm sometimes a few hours, and I'm like, how am I going to do that? And you just work it out. Like, you actually just, it happens.
It's magical.
It is. Well, it is. But then it's like, well, okay, how did that happen? It's like, well, because I had to figure out at light speed, you know, how to do it. And my brain just kicked into gear, you know, to do it, you know, not, there's obviously an element of, from past experience and a certain skill level, you know, that you can't, it won't then just happen. But the more you do it, like anything, I guess the better you get at it, right? You know, when you're doing, not to say you want to put yourself in like arm's way all the time, you know, just like for the sake of having extra practice, but it's a little bit of a sort of sport mentality. In a way, I find it's like when you have to do things, when you've got to, like, you're behind in a race, or you're, you know, behind in points, and you're like, okay, there's just grit. There's just like, okay, I'm going to like knuckle down and get to it. And then there's also, how am I going to do this? Not just will, but like, okay, a strategy that you've got to think about on the fly and fast. And I always kind of find that exciting when that's in sport, but it seems like a similar thing, really, right? It's like a similar, you know, kind of like having to think on the fly sort of idea in a way. It might not be as fast or like as real time, but it seems similar to me.
It is. I think at the end of the day, we have a tendency to throw money at problems, and we have a tendency to waste time. But when we have the constraint, we figure it out.
Wasting time is a big one, isn't it?
Yeah. And so all this is really is a constraint system to say, run your business on this amount of money, figure it out. And what happens, I think, more often than not, is the business owner accidentally spends their profit, right? They forget about tax time, and then they scramble come tax time, and they're freaking out, or they pay themselves last. And this gives you the emotional way and a systematic way to make sure that you are paid and paid appropriately and on time. And so it's taking a lot of the emotion out of the situation, I think, is really what it does. And it just makes it more systematized. And the more you can systematize your business, the better.
Yeah, that ultimately leads to, I guess, one, you know, harmony, and two, then scalability too, right? Like if you have systems,
yes,
you're able to scale it up, and you can, you know, you've got like a set of rules to be able to apply to the next person or to as things grow. But let's speak a little bit about some other things that I've like on your website and that I've heard you talk about in terms of like harmony then in life too, like in how all this, which I guess for most people listening who are business owners, they get, you know, that you know, leads to a happy life, because it does, but it's not too complicated. But like, is it outside of the really obvious things that people know why that translates to happiness, let's talk about like harmony though, like where that comes in with people finding the amount of pressure that applies on people when it's all over the shop, and then their life. Like, what sort of things have you seen in terms of how that works well with people, or that I know there's like a million stories as to how people run their lives, obviously, but.
I think it comes down to a couple of things. Number one, defining what you want. And then once you know what you want, being intentional about going after it and focusing on it and not getting sidetracked. I think it becomes much easier when you have that clarity. I think too often, especially today, we have too many shiny objects. We have too many options. We have too many different things. And honestly, nobody actually sits down to think about what do I truly want and write it down. And when you do that, you start to work towards it, and it becomes much easier. But if you're running around with your hair on fire and there's no money, then you're freaking out. And that's part of what we do, is reduce all of that stress. So you've got to take care of your health, right? You know, business owners are busy. They're running around. What are you doing to make sure you're properly fueling? Are you getting exercise? Do you have some sort of meditation, spiritual practice? Whatever it is for you, I think just being intentional and thinking through that. Building great relationships within your family, outside your family, within business, like, you know, making sure that you set time aside to do that, being good with your money, which we've talked about. And so it's how do all these things come together in a way that's enjoyable for you? Mm. You know, how do you do things that fit your life? And do you set time aside to be able to do that? And are you intentional about it? Because otherwise, you know, the day starts and we get busy and the exercise doesn't happen. And if you haven't got a proper meal plan, then you're eating whatever garbage gets put in front of you. And then you get distracted because there's the new shiny object. And so you go chasing after something that, you know, doesn't make sense because somebody said it might be a good idea. And so learning to just be much more intentional.
Yeah.
And making sure that you're intentional for what you want, not for what somebody else wanted.
Yeah, I think that's a really key word, that intention and purpose in and I would imagine like with and I mean maybe you can speak to this too as to how many people I guess you say start working with actually already have a very specific whether that's like real world goals like financial goals or like much more high level like they want to you know change their lifestyle and move into the country and they want to build a house there and then they got to work out all the you know the things that flow with that as to like you know where their kids going to go to school and all those sorts of things. How many people you come across already have those very specific purposes and goals laid out, Rocky?
Hardly anybody.
Mm.
The actual numbers of people who do is extremely small. And I think that's why people are struggling so much because they haven't thought through what they really want. You know, unfortunately, a kid's got to pick his career choice, you know, at 16, 17, 18, they're picking a whether they're going to college or what they're doing. And nobody's ever had them actually think through, you know, was it good? Was it bad? A parent might tell them, oh, you should do this. A school teacher or somebody might tell them that. But they never actually took the time to say, does that really make sense for me? And is that what I want? Or am I just following all these societal things that I'm told to do?
Yeah.
And I mean, and I think more often it's the latter.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, certainly. And I mean, there's obviously an element of that, especially when you're younger, where I mean, if I'm just thinking about myself too, it was like, did I now upon reflection really know like what I ended up doing? I was like, probably not, given that, well, I did for at the time, I thought it was a good idea at the time, but then, you know, due to circumstances and other things, like you shift and you pivot too. So there's obviously an element of realizing it wasn't right, even if you did think it was right too. But yeah, it's certainly then also true. I mean, what you were saying about that, you know, you're given ideas and to go down a certain path. But I think that step back of having some point of reflection and that linking into, you know, the intention and purpose, that kind of shift in thinking is obviously like, you know, is seems to be like, you know, a game changer then, you know, for people, because then you can't hit a goal if you don't have one, I guess. Hey.
I think that's very true.
Yeah. Well, it's a, you know, if you're an archer and you want to hit a target and you don't have a target, then you're not going to be able to hit the target. You know, obviously.
No.
You could hit something else probably quite well, and you could go, oh, I want to like shoot that tree over there. But
and that's the truth. If you have a bow and arrow, I mean, it may even be the first time you use it. But like you said, if I have a target, the chances of getting close to the target are pretty high.
Mm.
But if I don't know where the target is, the chances of getting anywhere near it are almost zero. Mm. Because it could be above you, it could be below you, it could be behind you. You don't know that. You're not going to be able to even guess what direction to send the arrow. And yet in life, most people are exactly that. They're not aiming for what they truly want.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. And it doesn't, yeah, and like I said before, it doesn't always mean that that's going to be the answer too, but you've got to start somewhere, right? Is you've got to you have a goal. And in fact, like it's usually not like the right one straight away. It might be like, and once again, I'm just talking about personal experience. Like my wife and I, we talk about a range of different things. And what about this? Yeah, in relation to our house or this or the business, and you agree upon something and you start on it, seems like a good idea. And then it's kind of right, but it's not quite right. So then the skill there afterwards seems, upon reflection anyway, it seems to be to have the ability to pivot well, still keeping and reflecting on whether the original goal was good or what parts of it were good, and then being able to move, because like it's bound then to change in some degree, I guess, really, isn't it? Like it's going to always do that, especially in business too, because there's a lot of other factors that we don't have any control over about what other people do. Like, you know, do they go ahead with a job? Do they, you know, this, like, and it's like hundreds of things.
There is. But if you are not clear on where you're going and what you're doing, then it's no wonder everyone's full of anxiety and freaking out and running around like crazy, because they have no clarity. Mm. Once you have clarity, everything becomes easy.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's a very simple truth, but it's very true. Yeah. And so, just to return right back to the beginning, how did you as a person sort of ease into, I would usually actually ask this right at the beginning of the podcast, but I'm now just reflecting on as to how you, with your interest in numbers and everything we've been talking about, how did you as a person before you are where you are now, like what was it, at what point or points did you go, I really want to, you know, help other people in this way? Like what happened to make that sort of occur, Rocky?
So for a good part of life, I was chasing money, right? And then I got the money and I still wasn't thrilled and happy. So I realized, maybe that wasn't it. And at that point, though, it was like, hey, you know what? You now have the freedom to make choices. So what are the choices you want to really make? And so that kind of started a whole journey in figuring all of these things out and diving deep into this and listening to all different types of things and learning from different people and figuring out, hey, what do I really want? How do I want to build it? What's it going to look like? And then reverse engineering life to actually do all of those things. It was not overnight. It took years and years of thinking and testing and trying and seeing and going, oh, I finally got it the way I wanted it. And it's working.
It's good, isn't it? Like the power of mistakes too. Like I don't, you know, I don't think there's ever been a person probably in the history of humanity that's had some mistake at some varying level who's gone, wow, that was amazing that I made that mistake, and gone, wow, I'm so thankful that I made that mistake. But it's only then in retrospect, after the fact, we go where then the mistake leads to something. And it's either like a realization about the opposite of that, or like highlights that why you made it, or like any number of things. But can you just I guess speak about from your perspective the importance of those things, of how they lead to the right path for you?
Well, and I think it's like you said, you know, looking backward, it's easy to connect all the dots. Looking forward, it's not always so easy. It's testing, trying, and saying, you know, is this really what I wanted? I thought I wanted this, but then I found out it wasn't what I thought it was. And then saying, okay, I'm going to go a different direction and being okay with that. And I think that's why I said it took so long to really figure out where that intersection came in of what are my skills? What are my desires? What do I have fun doing? And how does that then translate into the ability to make money while having fun? Mm. And it's not always easy to figure out that intersection. And you have to keep adapting and changing until you figure it out. And that's just the reality of it. Sometimes it's easier than others, but other times not so easy. It really depends on what it is that you want and how much it fits in with what the world wants or people want. And what the second part of it, though, and this is where I think a lot of the struggle comes into, is and they're willing to pay for. Because a lot of people say they want stuff, but at the end of the day, they're not willing to pay, then you don't have a business. You have a hobby, and that's okay too.
Yeah. As long as it's a fun hobby.
Well, it should be if you're doing it as a hobby.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess that's the definition, isn't it? Yeah. Or it should be anyway. But yeah, so if the so I guess this is probably very obvious to everyone listening, but it's, I always find on the podcast, it's good to revisit these things for people listening, sort of mainly, is that why won't money make you happy, Rocky? What is it about if you're going to put that lightning in a bottle and like, you know, sell it, why is it not going to make you happy?
I think once you get all your base needs handled and you've got a roof and you've got food and you have enough, the extra stuff doesn't really change anything. Mm. Now, you know, if you're hungry every day, sure, having money to pay for food is gonna, it's not that it's making you happy, it's taking away your misery. Mm. Right? So it's a tool used appropriately. And I think that's what it is. But at the end of the day, if I go buy a fancy sports car, 6 months from now, it's not brand new. 6 months from now, there's a new, better, faster model. You know, so you start getting trapped into the chase. There's always a bigger boat. There's always a bigger this. And you then become unhappy with your fancy stuff because, oh my, he's got a better one. Mm. And it's just that it's the chase. And I think it's learning to say how much is enough. And that's another question people really struggle with, is just learning to say, you know, I have enough. That's good. I'm done. Mm. I'm going to enjoy it.
Yeah. I think that actually seems like at the heart of things, though, because I mean, you know, it's kind of when people define, and it is slightly different for everyone as to what actually makes them happy, like what they do. So if that even means that they can't do, even if, say, hypothetically, the thing that makes them most happy is their hobby that doesn't make them any money, right? And this was probably like a lot of people, is that they work and work isn't necessarily their passion, but they're working in order to get money to pay their mortgage, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah. And the thing that makes their hobby. But if having to work more leads them to not be able to do their hobby as much, then that's a cause, you know. So then it does come back often to like the, just not that you don't have some huge amount of money, but you don't have enough, not to cause you, you know, things that take you away from other things. You know, it's like a little bit more of a, roller coaster than like this straight path.
It is. And I think everyone, we all get on that little bit more path, and it's like, oh, just a little more, and it's never ending. We keep moving the goalpost further and further. And I think that's a big part of it, is learn to enjoy the journey and have fun. And you don't have to do all this crazy stuff.
Well, it's harder. It's harder to kick the goal if you keep moving the goalpost too, right?
It is.
It's like shifting around the field. Yeah, I'm sure if you that would be a funny comedy skit, I'm sure. There was like a goalpost, you know, constantly moving around, and the pro football player's like trying to kick it, and he can usually kick it, but it moves over somewhere else. And they'd be like, what the hell? You know, and that sounds crazy. Like in that physical sense, they'd be like, oh, wow, that's zany, you know. But like the fact is, that is quite true, exactly what you're saying. Like people keep shifting the goals and they don't think of it like that, though. They go, oh, it doesn't add up that they're shifting the goals for all this other stuff that has to occur, that they had this plan. And then all of a sudden it's like shifted again. And they're like, how come this is so hard? But it's that simple realization, right? Of that you've just shifted it again for yourself.
It is. And I think it's human nature to constantly chase more.
Mm, true. Yeah. So as we're, I guess, like nearing the end of, you know, what we've been sort of speaking about, I'd like to get to this is quite high level. You've sort of spoken about, there's no one answer to this, but I'm here to speak about like how do people, given things that we've spoken about, how do people live their ultimate life? In one sentence, Rocky. No, just kidding. Yeah, you got to.
In one sentence, define it. If you can't define your ultimate life, how are you going to live it? And I think the first step is define it.
Yeah.
And the second step is figure out where you are and where that is and start walking that direction.
Yeah.
Tiny step at a time.
Yeah. I think it's funny you should say that, because it's something that we've been talking about at home, in our home recently, like the power of sort of seeing it in action is the power of little incremental steps. And two parts to that, like the satisfaction that kind of brings. Because I had this funny, sort of realization the other day. I was like, one, you know, that's from a practical perspective, doing little, you know, things in little incremental steps makes it easier. You know, two, it forms good habits in terms of consistency. And then three, it kind of gives you a lot more satisfaction, because you've got like a lot more little things that you've done that you can look on and go, oh, that was good that I did that. And there's actually more of them. It's kind of, it was, you know, in terms of little tasks, there's then, instead of like one big task or like a few big tasks, there's a whole heap of little ones that then you can go, oh, that was good. That was good. That was good. And it seemed to, like, I had no grand plan. But this is just like sort of something that we kind of fell into more through necessity, and then was like, actually, that's the way to do it, to do, you know, things. And that obviously flows through to when you practice anything and you get good at something, you do it consistently and often, and you do it like little bits, and it's easier to do. Next thing you know, you've got something done. And it seemed to, it's not rocket science once again, but you know, it's still not something that I you know, or we had like necessarily always done, but it's it's nice when they are done. But yeah, I think that's actually a really great answer that you gave. And I think it's kind of one of those ultimate truths that people inherently, I think they know it's true. As soon as they hear it, they go, oh yeah, yeah, that's true. So with all that in mind, Rocky, I said at the start, was ask you to give us like some sort of quote or some sort of saying that you'd like to share with everyone. What have you got for us?
So I'm told Albert Einstein said this, but I don't know if that's true. Compound interest is the eighth wonder of the world. He who understands it earns it, and he who doesn't pays it. So you're going to compound in life. You're going to compound in your weight and your wealth. If you're going the right direction, you're going to compound towards that success. And if you're not, you're going to compound away from that success. And so it's up to you. But tiny little things over time add up. And you can go really, really far if you're clear. And if you're not, well, you'll probably get really, really far from where you want to be.
Yeah, well, even if that's a great quote. And even if it wasn't Albert Einstein, it was somebody smart. And that said,
yeah.
It just adds extra weight. Or maybe you did say it, but is that either way, it's a great quote. And thanks for sharing it. And so what's the best way to, Rocky, for people now who are listening to actually, we'll have these links in the description as well for the podcast, but what's the best way for people to find out more online about you and what you do?
So if you're a business owner and you want to learn more about how to be profitable, I have a podcast called Profit Answer Man, where we teach that. And if you're more interested in the rest of the conversation we had today about living the ultimate life, I have another podcast called Richer Soul. And on Richer Soul, we talk about that. So any of those things resonate with you, come listen and learn more.
Thank you, Rocky. Thanks. That's all. I'll certainly be listening to. And you've got another website as well, haven't you? That's the
I do. The website for the business side, if you want help with your business finances, is profitcomesfirst.com.
Sure. Thank you so much for being on the podcast today. I really appreciate it. There's some great little sort of nuggets of wisdom in there, I think, with all that and merging, you know, that world of numbers with like people's lives, especially when, you know, people are in business, but even if they're not, like I think it's super important. It's the world we live in, right? It's like what people, it's how we operate, you know, so it's super important. So thanks again, Rocky. And any parting words for everyone?
Just go define what you want, figure it out, and take the first step. It's really that simple. And I think once you get moving, everything will work out, but you got to get moving, right?
Exactly right. And thank you, everybody, yet again for listening to the Grow Your Business podcast. And we will see you again soon. Say goodbye, Rocky.
Bye-bye.
See you, everyone.
Thanks for tuning in to today's episode of Grow Your Business. Have a great day, and we'll see you next time here at the Grow Your Business podcast.